everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. I am film critic Rachel Wagner, and I'm really thrilled today for this special episode that we are doing where we are going to be talking about the portrayal of Hanukkah in both Lifetime and the two Hallmark movies. And we have an expert that has joined us that we're going to talk with. And her name is Stacey Agdern. And you came to me.
Hello.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Stacey. And you
I'm so excited.
Yeah, that you wanted to talk about these films. And why don't you introduce yourself a little bit to our audience and sort of your history with watching these kind of Christmas movies, holiday films, kind of a thing.
Okay. So, hello. My name is Stacey Agdern. I am a romance reader, romance reviewer, former bookseller. I'm an author. I've reviewed romance novels in a whole bunch of different places for a long time. And I want to say I've been really watching the Hallmark Channel movies since about 2017 regularly. Before 2017, I semi-regularly watched a couple of, like, depending on, you know, what was happening, what was going on. But 2017 was really, I think, my first big, huge kind of year of watching regularly. As a side note, my favorite of all time Hallmark Christmas movie is actually Miss Christmas.
Ah, good choice. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good one. It's one of our first perfect scores that we gave.
There's so much about that movie that I absolutely adore. Mm-hmm. And I love the feeling of it. I love how central the heroine's job is to the whole movie. I love the small town family that sort of finds that middle solution because they love sort of watching every year's special. So there's so much about it that I love about that movie. But because I'm such a fan of the movies and because I watch them regularly, I got really excited when this year Hallmark announced that it was, actually they announced this on my birthday last year. They announced that they were doing Hanukkah-themed movies, and I was really, really excited to see what they were going to do. And I am still excited after seeing them.
Yay! So you are Jewish? Is that correct?
Yes, I am. I am. I absolutely am. And true fact, Hanukkah is actually one of my favorite holidays. Mm-hmm. So it's actually my favorite holiday. There are holidays that have more religious import, but I feel like Hanukkah in the United States at least has become a sort of holiday of identity, I am proud to celebrate Hanukkah sort of situation. Mm-hmm. There's so many different things. Like even my Twitter name, if you'll notice at the moment, is Stacey Applesauce. Mm-hmm. And the reason it is Stacey Applesauce is because one of the conversations that happens around Hanukkah time is what dipping sauce, as you were, would you dip your latkes in? Mm-hmm. Some like sour cream, which is fine. I have always been a fan of the sweet and the savory mix. Mm-hmm. And so I am absolutely a fan of dipping my latkes in applesauce.
That's one thing I was going to ask you, because I've talked to some of my Jewish friends and they've said that Hanukkah is not really comparable as far as significance to Christmas.
It's not. No, because the thing is this. One of the things I like about the holiday and writing about it and talking about it of Hanukkah is that because it isn't very much, it doesn't have as much religious impact as does Christmas, that is more the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that happen usually sometime in September and October, our New Year, and sort of that's the more sort of religious focus of our calendar. So Hanukkah is one of those holidays that's gained a lot of import simply because it's more culturally significant. Mm-hmm. It's a holiday of identity, really, when it comes right down to it. especially because it falls right around this time of November and December.
Yeah. So as a Jewish person, did you have any kind of barriers at all in enjoying all these Christmas movies? Was that ever a problem, or you just enjoyed it?
So I enjoyed them. You know, I think one of the things about watching these Christmas movies and why I got so excited to see Hallmark's most recent attempt at the Hanukkah movies were that they're just fun. They are happy. They are, I mean, I'm a romance reader. Like Christmas books have been my guilty pleasure for years.
Yeah.
you know, and so, you know, it's like what Joel says. There's a line in Holiday Date where Joel says something to the effect of, and it's so very true. And I'll get into more of this later, but like he says something like, I've read about it. I've seen it. You know, I just don't celebrate it myself.
Yeah. It's kind of an escapism kind of a thing, which that is for all of us, but even more so in your case. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Exactly.
Very cool. So we were going to talk about how this is not Hallmark's first foray into a Hanukkah crossover, I guess, movie. And this was in 2012 when they did Hitched for the Holidays. Yes. And so I have to admit that this has always been one that I don't know if maybe I gave it too much credit because it is a little bit different, but I rewatched it this year and it is very dated compared to the way Hallmark does things.
Yes.
I mean, both characters get pretty sloshed multiple times. There's the broad comedy of the families is way more over the top than what you get now, especially her Jewish family. Mm-hmm. And there is something well, I think there is something there's sometimes when I wish that Hallmark would go a little more broad and be a little bit funnier. So there was something kind of appealing about that to me, but I definitely can't deny that it does feel very outdated, the movie. And you have strong feelings about it.
Yes. I think that there's a very thin line between broad comedy and like stereotypes. And I think that especially with her family in that movie, tied to the sort of deeper import of the fact that they were celebrating the first night of Hanukkah. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, it was like, there was this whole huge, like, oh my God, we have to get everything ready because it is the first night of Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. Plus the way that her family was portrayed tied together to make it very, very cringeworthy on my particular side of things. It was very hard for me to watch. Yeah. I couldn't get very far.
And it's a story of they fake a relationship in order to satisfy each other's families. And he's trying to, he had a relationship and his grandma was very happy about that. Yep. But she's about to die. Mm-hmm. And so they, so he has, I forget how they meet. I can't remember that, but
there was actually a website. I want to say that there was some kind of website that they both signed up for. Like exactly like an early sort of version of the kind of website that shows up. What is in Mingle All the Way. I want to say,
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married, We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah.
It's
been a while since I should have watched this before doing this podcast, but I've been a little busy watching new Hallmark movies. He ends up meeting this woman. And mm-hmm. they both aren't really interested that much in dating, as I recall. But they just kind of get this relationship of convenience, like you said, and move all the way. Yes. So to appease his dying grandmother, he gets her to pretend to be his girlfriend. And then her whole family is very, wants her to get married and has all these.
Yes.
And they do, as I recall, they do lay on like the
Oh my god, it was so thick. Well, they also lay on the matchmaking very, very, very heavily. It was like, here is this ex-boyfriend that you should be dating, and by the way, he's a dentist. Like, you know, and it's very much like it feels very heavy. And of course you see it on the other side with the Italian family that's very, very stereotypical in that regard. And I'm like,
They're on his side, they're Roman Catholic, very observant. Yep. And it's talking to you, it made me kind of think about that movie in a little bit of a new way. Because again, I'm not in that, I can't comment on other people, how other people's cultures are portrayed.
Yep.
I'm not in that culture. I'm not in that faith. And so that's really interesting to me. And, but I did notice in watching it that it felt very dated and would never be approved now for Hallmark ever. Especially the getting drunk parts like that. I was like, what is happening?
It
was a different time back in 2012.
Yes. Oh my God.
We're going to talk about two Hallmark movies and one Lifetime movie. And so I think we should get the Lifetime movie out of the way, for lack of a better. So this movie is called Mistletoe and Menorahs. And I think the strength of this movie is I did really like Jake Epstein in this movie. I thought he was very charming. Yes. And he actually had two movies on Lifetime in the same weekend. They had A Storybook Christmas, which was quite good, with him and Allie Liebert, which I recommend. And then he had this. And I don't know, I just thought he was very charming. And
I definitely would like to see him in other parts for sure. I definitely would. The story is not his fault, we'll put it that way. Like, he sold it really well. But
When we talked about this on the Off Network podcast, Off Hallmark podcast, I said, this plot is ridiculous. It is completely, like, there's so many parts of this plot that don't work, because the whole idea that you have to explain and give lessons to another person on, especially on the Christmas side.
This kind of sort of leads for me into the way that the other two movies are portrayed as well. And but basically, like, the idea that one of the central questions I think I see in all three is sort of a Jewish person's relationship to Christmas. And like the one I think, and this is from my particular personal experience, that gets it the most wrong is Mistletoe and Menorahs.
Yeah. Because it defies credibility, that somebody that is raised in, I mean, you'd have to be in a completely strict Orthodox type of environment to not know about Christmas trees and carols and stuff like that.
You can walk into any store and they have wreaths.
Yeah. I mean, they're everywhere.
Especially if you are, exactly as you pointed out, living solely in an Orthodox community. Like, of course, like the CVS that caters to the Orthodox community is not going to have a Christmas wreath. But right. like, but any other one, you can literally go into any store, whether it is a supermarket, whether it is a drugstore, whatever yeah. it is, there will be wreaths all over the place.
Yeah, and trees and like none of that stuff is new. Yep. I mean, nope. what do you have? It's everybody not. Knows about Santa Claus. Everyone knows. I mean, if you ever had to do a school pageant or, I mean, you'd have like, all of that.
One of my close friends pointed out that her 5-year-old son, who has gone to Jewish day schools for like all of his life,
yeah.
knows like Christmas songs and knows reindeer. So like... Yeah.
Well, and also the whole idea that you're going to take these lessons for your girlfriend and so that you can impress your future father-in-law is kind of ridiculous as well. It'd be one thing yes. if you were learning about her specific customs, you know what I'm saying? About mm-hmm. how they
yep.
maybe, like my family, we have this German meal for Christmas Eve that is unique mm-hmm. and different. And so if I was teaching somebody about Christmas, I would include that. But I would explain that yep. this is just my family. I mean, I don't, and other, I'm sure there's others, but you know, if you're dating somebody who's Latino,
yeah, exactly.
learning how to make tamales is understandable for if that's their Christmas tradition, you know? So
mm-hmm.
That exactly. would make sense.
There's but, no, there's, yep. There's no general way to celebrate either holiday. Every family yeah. does. Every family has right. their own spin on the holiday, whatever it is. Like, what tunes do you sing on certain holidays?
Yeah.
Like that's going to be, that's going to be important as well. Like, mm-hmm. If at all do you give presents? Like,
yeah,
it's a question that everybody asks and answers yeah. differently.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Do you open them on Christmas Eve? Do you open one present on Christmas Eve? There's mm-hmm. different, do you open all the presents all at once or do you do the stockings first? That kind of stuff is different.
Yep.
But yeah, not knowing like, oh, what is Santa Claus or a wreath or yeah, like you said.
Like at least once a Jewish child will be forced to deal with the question of, do I break my friend's heart and tell them Santa Claus isn't real or do I not? Like, yeah, right. you know, it's something that if you grew up in a neighborhood, generally speaking, in most places in this country, you will yeah. be in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was pretty ridiculous, the whole plot. And then like on her side, it's like a little more understandable that she might be familiar with like yeah. the Hanukkah prayer and some other things like that. But the whole premise that she has to do this in order to get this promotion for work is absurd.
Yeah.
That she would be. And then I thought that the whole, also it was beyond ridiculous that she, her big great idea for selling more toys is to have a congressman action figure what? Doll or whatever.
Who would
want to buy that? I mean, no kid is going to want that.
Not these days. No.
I don't even think the kids of the congressman
yes, seriously.
And they're like, the people from the neighboring toy company are like listening and spying for this great idea that they steal.
There's always, once a company comes up with something, there's usually some kind of like either neighboring or like competing version, like
yeah.
GoBots and Transformers and the list goes on and on and on. And like,
but now all of that stuff is all done overseas. I mean, the idea that.
Mm-hmm.
And then her like solution is to make biblical figure dolls, which I don't even think that really hardcore Christians are going to like that because that's like irreverent.
Yeah, exactly.
You
like
know, to make stuff,
stuff religious symbols, sure. Like stuff Christmas tree. You know what I mean? Like stuff religious yeah. symbols is fine. Like I've seen stuffed Torahs all over the place. My nephew, who is 4 now, but was had one as a baby. Like that happens. Like you do that, but like no.
Yeah. yeah. You don't. Like you see Noah and stuff like that on baby, which I've always thought that was really weird. Why do we have that as a nursery thing? If you think about the story of Noah, like
exactly.
the whole world died. Like everyone died.
Exactly.
Why is that a nursery? I don't know. But it's really quite a grisly story.
It is. It's a mess.
Yeah. But I don't know. I can't imagine somebody that's that somebody that is religious enough to be attracted to that kind of product would not want to buy that product because it's too tasteless to have a action figure Moses or what.
It was so
stupid. I couldn't deal with it.
The whole thing was a mess.
There were some cute moments. I think also her boyfriend was the worst.
Yeah, he was the worst. I just remember, like, you know, he comes over before the breakup and is like, oh, by the way, I'm like, I'm going to watch, you know, the game.
Sports.
And like, no.
Like, at first I was like, okay, he's just being honest with things he likes, not likes. But then, like, he was, when he's like signing her up for interviews that she's not even interested in, and he's not even talking to her about it, and he wasn't like a funny bad man of business, he was just awful. I hated him. And like, honestly, who wouldn't even try a lac cake? That's ridiculous. It's literally just potatoes. Like, if you can eat
if you can eat hash browns,
french fry or hash brown, you should.
Or tater tot, like, seriously, that's what it is. Like, a latke is just not, it's not like this huge deal.
Like, yeah, and he's all like, oh, that's not who I am or whatever. And I'm just like,
okay.
What? I don't know. So he was awful, an awful character, like, not awful in a fun way, at least to me.
No.
So, yeah, this one is definitely my least favorite of the three, and I think you'll agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Lifetime with fail.
Lifetime, no.
Okay. So, we're going to talk about Holiday Date. That was the next to air. And this stars Brittany Bristow, who we were very excited, for her to have her first lead role in one of these movies.
Yes.
And so, this premise is a lot of fun. This idea that, you know, I love the fake boyfriend, fake fiance. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I think that hurt this movie is that they, or hurt the idea of this ruse, is that they planned way too long. If they were going to be there for the whole time of Hanukkah, and then even before that, you can't keep up a lie that long. No. Nobody's that good of an actor.
No. Nope. So I went in with like a different frame for this movie. What I expected is what I saw, and I liked it. And I'll I expected this to be Hanukkah 101.
Right. Yeah. I liked it too.
And I I love Brittany Bristow. I think she did an amazing job. I definitely thought the plot, there was a couple issues with that plot, and I agree with it, but I also think that, like, the point of this movie and the baggage that it was supposed to carry was Hanukkah 101.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
and here's the thing that makes this so much better than Mistletoe and Memories is that so he knows about Christmas. He's not an idiot. So he knows that he knows about Christmas trees, and he's like actively super excited.
Yes, and it's
involved.
And it's amazing. And, like, it's one of the things that, like, puts that in the middle of kind of the, like, in terms of the relationship between Jewish people and Hanukkah, that's, like, a closer kind of picture of that. And it was so funny watching him with the trees in the house. And I remember, like, I want to say, like, 2 weekends ago, I was visiting a friend in Manhattan after a party that we'd gone to. And we came back to her apartment, and her husband had put up the Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And she was, like, completely amazed because in their particular apartment, it had involved moving a whole bunch of things. But the thing was, what she said was, my husband, who is an engineer, has a very particular sense of place and, like, where things go in a house and where trees, how you have to sort of put a tree in a space.
Uh-huh.
And that was one of the things that I thought of later when they had that particular scene with Joel trying to figure out how to put the Christmas tree in the right place and like how impossible it was.
Yeah.
You know, like, the theory is great and the practice was adorable because he's like, I have no idea like where to put this tree. Like, how do I fit this tree in this house? It was fantastic.
Well, and it was just funny. Like, the whole, I loved the, when they're trying to get the tree through the door and they're like, pulling, like, that made me laugh.
That was fantastic.
His whole just excitement. I thought this movie was a lot stronger the first like the beginning part. Mm-hmm. And then I felt like it kind of ran out of steam.
Yeah.
But I loved the scene when he is like moving the dad's glasses around so he can't yep. see the ad. That
yes.
made me laugh.
Oh my God, that was fantastic.
And I thought that all the things that he didn't know, I thought they were all reasonable.
Yeah, they were plausible. Exactly.
Like, because the New York Times article that talked about these movies, it really was hard on this movie, and they were like, he doesn't even know the words to Deck the Halls. And I felt like that was a really strange point to bring up, because Deck the Halls is kind of old English. If they had mm-hmm. used Jingle Bells, then I would be like, yeah, that's lame. How does he not know the words for Jingle Bells? There's like five words. But like
Don, and it's everywhere.
Yeah. And his line was, "Don, we now are gay apparel." I feel like that's totally reasonable that someone that's Jewish would not know that line.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really surprised that they used that as an example, because I felt like he knew.
I feel like there are more egregious examples of it in Miracles and in Mistletoe and Menorahs, and
sure.
like, and yet they choose to kind of focus on those kinds of frailties in Holiday Date, which is a shame.
I think so too. I agree. I thought that they could have, and maybe you can add to that, speak to this. So I thought they could have maybe got a little bit of comedy out of the fact that the very first meal that they have is ham.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So it's kind of interesting because like, so that touched on a really sort of interesting aspect where like people, so being kosher is something that some Jews do, not all of them do. And people have a different relationship to it.
Uh-huh.
Depending on where they fall on sort of how people practice their, observe their Judaism, for lack of a better word.
Because he was really excited to eat the ham.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of a little bit surprised by that, because I figured they could have made sort of a funny scene of him kind of not like passing it on or being awkward about it. That could have been funny. But would you say that maybe being excited maybe to try it for the first time might be more realistic for
I think it is I think it is very realistic. Uh-huh. I think that like to tell you a funny story, let me think of like, because my very close friends, they all know that when I come to visit, they will have bacon in the house.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I grew up in a house where we were kosher inside and kosher outside for a whole bunch of reasons that my parents mm-hmm. negotiated. So as an adult, I sort of tend towards that kind of, path as well and continue mm-hmm. to do so. Not to mention like, I don't cook. I'm really uh-huh. horrible at cooking. I can boil water and make an omelet. That's about the extent of it.
Yeah.
And so like, how could I make, you know, like you really would not want me anywhere near bacon because it's, you know, it's not necessarily the best thing for me to cook. And so all of my friends, you know, who they all know.
Yeah.
Stacy's coming, we have to get the bacon ready. Like, that's kind of a thing. So it is entirely, so like, based on his relationship to keeping kosher, which I would assume is similar to mine, where grew up kosher, probably, you know, in a situation where like, he didn't eat kosher outside the house. So like, but wouldn't want to deliberately eat pork or shellfish. And probably this was the first opportunity. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to make the most of it and dive right in.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I can see that.
Yep.
I can see that. Cause my religion has a very strict, diet code, thing. And I can see if I kind of wasn't keeping that, it wouldn't be thrill in a way to
exactly like the forbidden, like you know, I mean, again, like as an adult, like I, you know, the one of the other things that I can't have semi-regularly are marshmallows, uh-huh. because 90% of the time they're made with things that are not kosher.
Mm-hmm.
once a year, they sell marshmallows that are kosher.
Uh-huh.
Once a year.
Just like yours.
Exactly. Once, not only that, but like I buy a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
And save them and slowly dole them out so that by the time we are in a season where we are using a lot of marshmallows, I still have them.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that makes sense.
It's,
I really liked Peter Benson in this. I thought he was really mm-hmm. funny.
the long suffering brother-in-law.
Yeah. You call that pulling? Yep. And then when he's like, I'm so glad I'm not the new guy anymore.
Yep.
Really funny.
It was awesome. Oh my gosh.
It made me laugh too. Mm-hmm. They always show in these movies the making the popcorn strings.
Yes.
Oh my God. That is like such a myth. I don't know anybody who does it because it takes so long. I mean, you have to work for hours and hours and hours to get those things long enough. I mean, that made me laugh. I thought that, like, I just liked his facial expressions.
Yes, he was adorable.
I think where it started to lose me a little bit is, mm-hmm. well, I also loved how excited they were to all of a sudden start celebrating.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And again, like, going back to the audience in Hanukkah 101, like, this is where you show, oh my God, like, audience who's never really been exposed to Hanukkah to that degree sees this excited family on television celebrate in the movie that they're watching celebrating Hanukkah, and it's an amazing thing. Yeah. And I saw somewhere someone was like, oh my God, that's so not realistic. I'm like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
The same friends who save bacon for me have said semi-regularly, okay, we're going to do Hanukkah because it's Hanukkah and you're coming and we're going to make these latkes. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome. And, you know, it's people, and I'm sure you probably had this too, where like, you have, you know, when your friends don't celebrate the same customs that you do, like if you're visiting them, if you're spending time with them, they want to learn about what you're doing. Yeah. Like, it's not an official, like, oh my God, we're taking classes, but like, it's this excitement. It's like, yes, we want to make this person feel welcome. We want to learn about what they're doing, especially in their case, if like, he's going to be their future son-in-law is what they think. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden it's like, okay, great. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, bonus holiday, woohoo!
Exactly, and it was fantastic. Yeah.
Where I think this movie lost steam for me is when I thought it was going to be great when the real Ethan shows up, and I'm like, oh, this is going to have so much comedy, because you've got two Ethans, mm-hmm. and it's going to be hilarious. And then it just did nothing with that.
Yeah.
He was just gone, and it wasn't mm-hmm. funny, and I don't know, after that, it kind of started to lose steam for me in the humor mm-hmm. department, and it was fine. I didn't hate it, but I thought they could have done a lot more to make that more madcap and more funny. So I liked their when they have their kiss and under the mistletoe.
Yeah, that was so cute.
And then he says, friends don't kiss like that. That was really good.
Yeah. I like that a lot. That was fantastic. I love the little gift that he gives her too. Like,
oh yeah.
That was awesome.
That was really good.
Yes.
Yeah. And the little kiss on the cheek. I mm-hmm. liked that a lot. That was really cute. And then he finally tells, they finally tell the secret. The dad knows. Mm-hmm. And they let it out. And then when he doesn't get the movie role, and he says, I didn't get the movie, but maybe I got the girl. So that was cute.
Which is adorable.
It was really cute. So this one I enjoyed. I forget how many crowns I gave it on the day we were talking about it. I can't remember, but it was probably something like 3.5, something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, this one I would say is my second favorite of the three. But and I think Tara Rothery should be everyone's mom. She's just the
best. She is fantastic. Like every single role that every single movie that she's been in, she is amazing in. And it's nice to see, like, also like Bruce Boxleitner too. He was hilarious. Yeah. Oh my God.
He was really good. So all right, last one just aired this last weekend, Double Holiday. this one was written by our good friend Nina Wyman. And I know she really took a lot of pride in this. She really loved it. She is Jewish. I don't know about the other writers in there.
I know that I read, there was an article that I read about the two movies, and they talked about how the producer of Holiday Date was Jewish.
Okay.
And that he was the one who kind of like took, and then I think the director too, if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember, I'll have to find the article, but like those two took sort of time on the set to make sure that everything was right. So
yeah. We just talked about this, me and literally today I recorded it, me and Dory from All the Feels this week for our weekly recap. And so we really enjoyed it. Basically, it's about these two people who are, it's kind of a enemies to lovers type trope in romantic comedies where they work together. They're really irritated by each other. They don't like each other. They're forced to work together to plan this party. And that was the one aspect that kind of made me a little nervous, because sometimes the party planning movies can be very boring. But in my opinion, that was it was just a basic framework to then build their interactions together.
Yeah. It's the way that they added the ticking clock.
Yeah.
Like the party specifically was the ticking clock. They need to get the party planned by this time.
Right. And you just need an excuse to make them work together. But
exactly.
It didn't get bogged down, at least to me, in
it didn't.
What ornaments are we selecting, or what, you know, things. It was all just there to, like I said, to provide some framework. And do you think that Christopher Plow's character was always into her?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. It's the positive side of the classic, dipping a character's hair into the ink jar, sort of situation. Yeah. Like, you know, he watched her, he absolutely paid attention to what she was doing. And I absolutely think his character was totally in love with Carly Pope's
Well, and I loved everything about Fancy Suit Guy. I just thought did such a great job in sort of
that was hilarious.
Establishing her character and how, because really the story is all about how she becomes confident in herself and as a person, and finds love in the process. And and so that was really, I thought, well done and funny. And especially whenever Paloma got a kind of leer and look, and you could see him getting super jealous. And
oh, totally. He served two purposes in that Fancy Suit Guy.
Yeah.
Like, it showed how not confident she was.
Right.
And allowed us as viewers to see what Chris saw in her. Mm-hmm. And sort of showed us what she needed to learn and do in order to find her own strength in herself.
It helped give her an arc.
It did.
A real arc. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is probably the most charming that Paloha has ever been. He was
he was fantastic. Oh my god. Like, it's funny, like the movie that I watch the most of his, I forget the title, it's the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries one with Jen Lilly, and she's the it's not Jen Lilly, sorry, it's
the Small Town Christmas,
yes, that one,
yeah, Ashley Newbro. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Her. Yes. I was mixing up the two movies simultaneously.
I like her better in this.
Yes.
I do. Yeah.
No, she is fantastic.
Yeah. Because in that, he was doing the whole Jimmy Stewart thing, which was fun, and I enjoyed it.
But this I feel is like him letting loose a lot and sort of feeling and having fun. And you can tell he's having fun as he's playing this character.
Yeah. And I felt like, I don't know, you can speak to this, but I just loved her family. And it seemed like the portrayal of Hanukkah was very sweetly done, and very, I felt like I got to know about it without it being patronizing. I don't know. What do you think?
So I said to a friend of mine, I was like, this is Hanukkah 201. Uh-huh. this is where you see the work between Hitched for the Holidays and now.
Right.
And you can tell, like, the comedy is there than the family, but it's not even close to that line of making them stereotypes. You can find the humor in what they're doing, but it's humor we recognize in our own families. And one of the things one of my friends said to me as well was, they look like every single other Hallmark family. They act like every single Hallmark channel, you know, Hallmark movie family. Yeah. And that is so important. That is so completely important. And I loved that so much. And I also, I love the portrayal of Hanukkah. I loved how they showed how her family celebrates it and how so very easily they invited him in. Like, okay, great. Let's, you know, I loved also the balance of the holiday. Like, you can tell right away that they're like, yeah, you know, we are having a thing, but it's the first night, but because it's the first night, it doesn't, you know, it's not that import. It's that we are spending all of these nights together and this is just the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. And I particularly liked the portrayal of her sister. I think it captured that dynamic of that you have a lot of times with your sisters like a younger sister or no, they can feel kind of that they're perfect and you're sort of comparing themselves or I don't know, just that rivalry that sometimes exists. I feel like that was really good. And I really liked when he says, look, your sister's great, but she is not perfect. And, and that whole kind of conversation with her, I thought was really good.
Yeah. And I loved how her parents adored them both equally. Mm-hmm. Like, you can kind of tell that it was something that was inside of her and not something that her sister was furthering, nor was it her parents.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's that whole sort of idea of, I have this checklist. I would like to do these things. She has, what's wrong with me that I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And when he has the whole song memorized and does the whole, the Hanukkah presentation.
My heart, he did the blessing, like that in the, like, it was just like the first night he was like, I'm off book or something. Yeah, and then it was sobbing, crying. Side note, that tune is very similar to what my family uses.
Okay.
Used last night and will use tonight, probably as soon as we finish.
Yeah. And there were only, I also loved their boss. I thought she was really well done. Like, she's basically
fantastic.
Like, she's like terrified of children. She's like, I don't know what to do. Like, oh my God. Which made me laugh.
And all of these people, like, sort of, and how kind of encouraging she was, like, as she, you know, as she saw Rebecca's character sort of blossom.
Yeah.
You know, I liked that. And I liked the fact that she recognized that the two of them were similar and very close. And it was a difficult decision. And I liked very much how they portrayed that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I totally relate to that. When I look around, I'm like, I don't know what to do with all these children. Yep. Mm-hmm. What's going on? And I also had to laugh when they're having hot cocoa on the ice rink. Don't do that. That's a bad idea.
I was like, yeah, they're probably where it should be is like off in the other room. But I do like, I have to say, like, by like we're near where the skate shop is, that's going to be a disaster. Someone's going to fall. But like, I loved the fact that they had that night. And I've talked to friends who are also doing something like this with like with various charities and with actual like volunteer work, and I love the fact that they're sort of tying back into the idea of Tikkun Olam or repairing the world, making the world better, and tzedakah, which is charity in that sense, and sort of tying it back to that. And I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, and there was nothing in this movie at all as far as him teaching her about Christmas.
Nope, which I love.
Her
moment at the Christmas tree farm where she's like, I've decorated trees before. Which is the best.
Yeah. It was really good. And you know, like her niece is in the school play with Santa Claus and all that. And that's totally real. That's the way it would be.
I joked to a friend like around that point that my nephew was in his school play in school, like pageant. He's in kindergarten now, but he was, he was in his school pageant in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And my sister-in-law sent me a video of what was happening. I was like, oh, it was so cute. And it was, they were singing a Christmas song because that's how it works.
Yep. Yep. And I liked the fact that the script really supported her career goals, and she was never an ice queen of business or anything like that. And the ending when they, come to this, they both end up getting the, kind of dream jobs, which is what you want in an escapism fantasy, kind of thing. That's what you want.
Yes.
And so it was really good. I even liked, the whole thing where he overhears her talking and to her sister about how it's not going to be a thing or whatever. And then later on, he's like, oh, you thought I was bringing somebody to the party.
I really liked the way that they handled that dark moment in the movie. I really liked that a lot.
It was good.
That it was not as dramatic as it usually is, but it worked perfectly because this movie really didn't demand that sort of deep, like, oh my God,
exactly.
Because there was already so much going on otherwise that you didn't need that like moment of, oh my God, they're going to break up.
You didn't need that huge conflict.
Nope.
I completely agree. Mm-hmm. And I loved Kirby. He was
Kirby was fantastic. He was fantastic.
And so, this one was a delight. It quickly moved up to my favorites of this year. Mm-hmm. I gave it 4.5 crowns in the episode. I think it was excellent. And
so well done.
Definitely one I could imagine rewatching. And and so I think Nina really knocked it out of the park. I think
she did an amazing job. That whole cast was so wonderful. And I was excited to watch it. So,
Do you think that this is something that there was some controversy? There was that New York Times article. Do you think it's something that they're going to continue to do? And do you think there's sort of enough stories here that we're going to?
So I had a theory about all of this. Granted, this is what happens, right? You watch actors and actresses, you watch what they do, who they schedule where, where they place things. And I kind of had a feeling that it was going to be fantastic when the only place in the entire Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade where they mentioned Hanukkah in any way, shape, or form on that broadcast was on the Hallmark Channel float.
Interesting. Yeah.
There was a dreidel on that float.
Yeah. I do. I think that Hallmark was very proud of this movie. Mm-hmm. And I think that so I hope that, we had one not as good, and then two, one that was pretty good, and then one that was really good. Like, and so hopefully that's enough to kind of give them the confidence
to
keep telling more stories.
Yes. What I was thinking of is actually like going back to like the people were talking about, can they do the work? Are they capable? And I say yes, because I remember 2012 and how disastrous and stereotypical that movie was. And I remember, and I watched Holiday Date.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they can do the work.
I think that they need to have the connection to Christmas, or do you think that next time there could be a full Hanukkah?
So I would very much love for multiple. I would very much love for personal reasons and otherwise, because to see a full-fledged Hanukkah movie, that's what I would absolutely adore that, because there are so many different plots that can be played with, so many tropes that can be used. Christmas tropes can be turned into Hanukkah with a little bit of finessing, a little bit of paying attention, and a little bit of work. Mm-hmm. I would love to see, for example, like you have these two casts, right? Like you have her family, you have him, you have her, and you basically have enough to have a cast of people, and you can look through a bunch of different actors and actresses who've done Hallmark movies over the years. You have someone like Nina, or what was her name?
Julie Sherman Wolf.
Her, yes. Yeah. You have those two writers who can do a fantastic job with it. Mm-hmm. I would love to see like souffle gagne yolk baking contests. I would love to, you know, different recipes. I'd love to see latke baking contests. Like we see all the Christmas cookies. That's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. What would happen to a small town if the company making the food processors screwed up like they did one year and they had a recall? And you have a small town company who makes hand graters. Mm-hmm. You've had the PR person for the food processor company and the small town potato grater company. And
yeah,
that's idea. I mean, there are tons of different ways you can take these traditional Christmas movie tropes and turn them into Hanukkah stories. The temple's Hanukkah play, or maybe a hint, hint festival. all of these things. Like, do you observe Hanukkah publicly? Do you not? Like, are you team applesauce or are you team sour cream? Like, all of these little things that are intrinsic to the holiday can turn into these really cute movies in the way that finding the perfect tree can turn into the perfect Christmas movie.
Yeah. What's the big dessert in Hanukkah?
Souffle gagne yolk for sure.
Uh-huh.
The jelly donuts that they talk about. But the thing is this, one of my favorite things about Hanukkah related food is the following. All you have to do to make a Hanukkah food is fry it.
Yeah.
So there was an article a couple weeks ago about churros. Oh my God, it's fantastic because you fry them, right? Like donuts and churros and like all of these wonderfully amazing things that are Hanukkah foods specifically because you fry them.
Yeah. So if you had a Hanukkah food that you could basically make sort of the Kringle of the Christmas Kringle,
yep,
but Hanukkah version of that kind of storyline.
Exactly.
That could be really good too.
Exactly. Like the souffle gagne yolk competition or like maybe a company that makes, or thinking about like Merry and Bright, thinking, oh, what about the Gelt company?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Do they, the company that makes the Hanukkah Gelt, do they try to like expand or do they like do their, do they want to make dreidels or like, and a dreidel spinning company? Mm-hmm. Like there's tons of different little sort of things that can make the most amazing, adorable, Hanukkah movies that don't, in the same way that, these Christmas movies,
you could even do like a menorah company.
Exactly.
Yeah. That'd be good. I'd watch that all day. So I think this has been very productive. I really enjoyed talking with you.
I've had a lot of fun talking with you too.
Yeah. Thank you so much for approaching me. And because it was definitely something I wanted to talk about, but I feel like the only people that I know are somehow involved in it. You know what I mean? Are involved in
totally.
So this was really great. And so thank you very much for coming on the show and giving us your perspective. And we'd definitely love to hear from all the listeners how you celebrate Hanukkah, how you think they did with these movies. We'd really be interested to hear your thoughts here in the comment section or on Twitter. And so where can people find you as far as your books and your social media and all that stuff?
So I am NY Stacy on Twitter. I am Stacy Agdern on Facebook, or you can find me at my website, which is stacyagdern.com.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So make sure to check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod, Hallmarkies Podcast on all of our social media and on iTunes and YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate that. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. That we appreciate that too. We also have our patron group, which we talk about all these things and we have a lot of fun. We have giveaways on there and then exclusives. It's just a really fun group. So the link to that is in the description. We also have our merch store we should come up since Hallmark did. We should come up with a Hanukkah inspired merch.
That would be awesome.
That would be fun. We'll work on that. And yes, check it out. The link is in the description. And thanks again, Stacey. This was really fun. I really appreciate it. And
thank you so much for having me, Rachel.
Yeah, we'll have to have you on again soon. So
definitely, I would love to.
Happy the rest of Hanukkah.
Thank you so much. Chag Sameach to those who are celebrating. Yes. Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you as well.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.